April 5th, 2024, we're in Masechet Bava Kaman, Daf Kaf Gimal Amud Aleph, nine lines from the bottom, last word on the line where the Gemara says, Al HaHarara Meshalim. Says the Gemara, Man Hayav, who's obligated in the circumstance of coal burning someone else's Gadish, Baal HaKelev, says the Gemara, the obligation is on the owner of the dog. LeHayev Name Baal Gahelet, why don't we say that the owner of the coal is also obligated. B'sheshimer gahalto. If you recall, we learned this yesterday. The Gemara says that the owner of the coal must have safeguarded it. He must have protected it. B'sheshimer gahalto. May ba'e kelev hatam. If it's so that he was actually protecting his coal, so then how did the dog get to it? Answers the Gemara. B'shehatar. Amar av mare. Bere de Rav Kahana zot omeret setam delatot haturoten etzel kelev. The understanding is that the dog tunneled under the door, and in turn, we understand that tunneling under doors is a normal thing for a dog to do, and as a result, with regards to obligation for seizing and getting that gahelet, we're not going to say that it's mishune, it's out of the norm. That's a normal, expected by the owner of the kelev of the dog activity of his dog. Now, says the Gemara, four lines from the bottom. De achela hecha. Where was that harara, that biscuit eaten? Ilema, perhaps you'll tell me, de achela bigadish de alma. Maybe the circumstance, the situation is that he took that biscuit and went to someone else's stack and collecting area of hay. In other words, it takes Reuven's gahelet and harara and brings it to the stack, the gadish of Shimon, and eats it there at that of Shimon. Would he be liable in such a circumstance for eating the harara of Reuven on the property of Shimon? Says the Gemara, Habba'inan, isn't it clear to us that we need ubi'er bisteacher veleka, the obligation of the Torah for shen, for an animal which derives a benefit and pleasure through the act of damaging, which is what we call shen, has to take place on what's called haser hanizak, on the property of the person who got damaged. Says the Gemara, you're right, la tziricha, it must be in turn de'achela, Bigadish de Baal Harara, the eating of this, biscuit is taking place on at the Gadish, at the stack of the owner of that Harara. Says the Gemara, Tifshot, we can in turn derive from this, De Pi Para Kehaser Hanizak Dame. It must be that when an animal has the food in its mouth, we envision and understand the mouth of the animal not as, so to speak, a separate property, separate domain than the place where it took that food from. In other words, it enters into your property, it's in its mouth, I make myself exempt now. I say, yeah, it's true, it took it from your property, but in the scheme of things, it was in my horse's mouth when it was eaten. My horse's mouth is my property. The Torah says it needs to be on your property, and as a result, I am obligated. I'm not able to make such a claim. If you were to tell me that the mouth of the cow, of the bull, is considered like the owner's property, in other words, it's not on the property of the person who got damaged, but rather on the property of the person who damaged, if that were the case, I would be able to enter into court after my horse ate your field and say, my ba'e riftach bepumad de kalbai. What is the bread of you doing in the mouth of my dog? Clearly, I'm not allowed to do that. It's very clear from our Mishnah and our interpretation of our Mishnah that even though the dog took the biscuit and put it in its mouth, but provided that it's standing on the property of the person who's getting damaged, that in and it of itself is sufficient to say this is shin birshut hanizak. That's what the Gemara has for us. The Gemara will now, on this amud, have spent some time, some 20 or so lines, dealing with this issue, this concept of whether the mouth of the cow is considered the property of the person who owns it, and of course would exempt the owner of that animal from any damage that it did in terms of benefit, or if, as we just suggested, it's not so. Even though the mouth, so to speak, is separate than the property, the fact that it's standing or it took it from the property of another person, that makes it that it ate it on the property. This is a very, needless to say, Talmudic type of claim. I mean, this is a rabbinic type of claim. And the normal standard person, you turn to them and you say, my dog ate on your property. Where was it eating? The answer is on your property. Where was the stuff? On your property. This is the Hachamim saying, maybe I could have seen it differently. But as was asked yesterday, why are we proving this from over here? Why is it all of a sudden we paused everything and said, you know something? Based on what we just said, I can prove something. I can prove that the mouth of the animal is not a separate domain. That if your animal eats on someone else's property, you're liable. Why is that being addressed over here? That's the question of Tosafot. We had several Mishnayot. We've been talking about this obligation called Shin since all the way back when, since Daf Gimal, we had several Mishnayot which talked about Shin. This was Alan's question yesterday. He said, you'd be throwing a wrench into everything we knew already. Shin means that it ate from the property of another. You'd be telling me, no, it didn't really. So how is it and why is it that this solves it and those didn't? Tosafot at the bottom of Daf Kaf Gimal Amud Aleph, perhaps we should read some of it together and understand their read of the sugya. It'll become clear from the Tosafot when we then learn the Gemara afterwards, as Jared pointed out to me, mentioned after the class yesterday, that the Himshech, the next several cases which the Gemara brings, really fit into line in lieu of their reading of the Gemara. But take a look here at the bottom of Daf Kaf Gimel Amud Aleph, Dibura Matchil Tifshot, right before the lines get wide in Tosafot. Tosafot begins with a question, Tema. Tema is a question prompt, according to Tosafot. They always use that word, Tema, or they use the word Vekashe. Tema means it's a wonder, it's difficult. De amai la pashit misha'ar baved matnitin. Why are we not being poshet? Why are we not solving this issue, Alan's question, from all the other literal word is gates of the Mishnah, meaning all the other Mishnayot we had in this Masechet, Ditnan. For example, we had a Mishnah which taught us, Hashen mu'edet le'echol hara'uila. Well, it's very straightforward. Shen, meaning the obligation of shen, of an animal which damages through benefit, is through when it eats hara'uila. Eats hara'uila, ra'ui means it's appropriate to it, means when it eats it, you're liable. We don't say that you're on your own property. Ume'ahi, and from another Mishnah, de'achila mitzide harehava, umitocha hanut, when the animal ate from the side of the street, from someone's shop. Those were all good Mishnah. Why didn't the Gemara pause and say, you see, don't be too Talmudic with me. Don't have that rabbinic mind over here. Don't say, well, it's in the mouth. That's a new domain. No, you should be ve'od. And furthermore, otam shehayu midahakim, excuse me, midaktikim mishisab. I need to skip this question for now because this is from the Himshech of the Gemara. Okay, so skip that question and skip down now two lines. It would be out of order for us to read this now. Vinira says Tosafot, Vinira, it therefore seems Liri. Ri, as we've mentioned, his name was Rabbi Yitzhak of Dampir, one of the major Ba'alea Tosafot. The Mikol Hanhu, all of these, the matnitin, of those Mishnayot, which we just mentioned, Lamatze Lemifshat, we're not capable and we're not able of solving this issue. Why not? Veloma hidinatal harara. And not even from our Mishnah, this dog, just yet, until we analyzed it in the Gemara. Why not? Mishum desalkada atin. Because our assumption and understanding, this is Tosafot's recreation of our Gemara, lending for us the scenery, the introduction to the conversation. It goes like this. Salka da'atin, this was the understanding initially. Di'im lakhaha behema perot behaser hanizak. If the animal entered onto your property, my animal onto your property, grabbed fruits and vegetables, ve'achela birshut harabim. The opposite of what Jeffrey said, and he's right, the Gemara told us is normal, but still, not so crazy. We've seen this. Dogs will grab it from one and then eat it. Even I have seen this. And then eat it even in a public area. They always, I don't know why, they'll grab it from one place, maybe instinctively. They assume they're going to get attacked there, and they'll eat it somewhere else. The assumption, says Tosafot, in the beginning stage of the Gemara is, what does it mean, Shen Birshut HaNizak? Shen Birshut HaNizak means it picked up the item from the person who ultimately speaking's property gets damaged. But that should be pretty, and this, by the way, Jeffrey asked yesterday, and it was a proper question.
It's like transporting, it's not an eating, really.
But it's the lifting. Let's do it better. It's the lifting. In other words, Jeffrey asked, what's the logic in all this? Right. At this point, ironically, in the Maskana, says Tosafot themselves, we don't have a good logic. That's what I said yesterday. But in the initial stage, says Tosafot, here's the logic. You want to know what your responsibility as a dog owner is, as an animal owner? Make sure it doesn't go onto someone else's property and take something. That's it. Nothing more, nothing less. Where it ate it afterwards, what's the difference? No, but you see, it took it from your property. Let's look at the cameras. And then it went out into a public area and ate it there. I am therefore exempt. We look at it and we laugh at you. Ironically, we end up saying it's true. But at this point, says Tosafot, that's the logic. The logic is that if my animal takes it from your property, Shalom al Yisrael, I now have to pay. No, but it didn't eat it on your property. Who cares? The obligation should be where it took it from. Oh, if that's the case, if that's what... No, because then it's not chin. Because then it's not chin. Because where was the niz? Okay, listen, I mean, like anything else, if I have a machshava ra'ah, but I don't end up doing the sin, am I really liable for it? I did the wrong thing, but I'm not liable for punishment. I thought about robbing from that person, and you have a screen on my head which says what I was thinking, or I pick it up from your property and I put it down. In the scheme of things, I didn't end up taking it. So that's it. Listen, when I do it, I scale backwards and I say, you were hayav even for the machshava mitehila. There's no question. So it needs to end with shin, but the beginning of shin and the real action of shin, ironically, is even before put it in its mouth. Yeah.
The dog jumps on the barbecue, grabs a steak, runs to the public thing. Is no liability?
Should be at this point, should be 100% hayav.
Right.
That's Tosafot's understanding of the beginning of the sugya. In the maskana, I'm going to tell you already from now, because this is what I said at the onset, unfortunately, yesterday. And you said, what's the logic? And then the answer is, says Tosafot Pasuk. That's it. We don't have a logic, but that is correct. In the scheme of things, it jumps onto your property, grabs it from your barbecue, runs into the Rishut HaRabim. Listen, you're going to be hayav for Mashe Nehene, Mashe Hizik, don't forget, Mashe Nehene. You're going to have to pay for the lunch of the dog. Remember, Shein Birshut HaRabim, you still pay something, but you're not paying full damage.
If you burnt a third person's property, there's no obligation to anywhere of anyone?
Talking about Shein only, though.
I know, but I'm saying, you take this food, this...
There's a coal
on it. It went to a third person's property and it burned the property.
No, the burning's different. The only thing that needs to be on the property of the damaged guy is shin and regel.
No, it's the third person. Yes.
That's fine. Okay.
Who's obligated for the fire?
Oh, that's our cat. I mean, that's.
So you're saying
me? Certainly. How much? Full? Half?
Oh,
whatever.
But it's some of it.
That's for burning. That's for burning. Burning, I have an obligation of, I mean, by definition.
I thought you said on the third person, there was no obligation.
No.
Okay. Does this come into play with the animals carrying food on its back and then your animal eats from off the other animal? Once your animal's carrying something and another person's animal takes it off the other animal, is that Rishut HaNiza?
So the Gemara told us that, according to Rashi's understanding, that was Rishut HaNiza.
Right. And that would fit in here also, no? Once the animal lifts it, it's considered possession, like it's all tied together.
Yeah, I, as a matter of fact, you now raise a problem for me more than an answer.
Good.
Because in the maskana now, my animal standing in Rishut HaRabim, this is the Hava Amina of the Gemara. The assumption of the Gemara is that it took it off, that's sufficient. But it wasn't standing in the Rishut HaNiza. It didn't climb onto your animal when it's eating it. Okay, so hold that.
You gave an example of picking it up and putting it down on the property. But in that case, the owner of the property wouldn't have had a loss. In this case, once the dog leaves the property with the item, somebody's losing there.
No, so you have to say, I think there's a Judas question, but you have to say that when the dog put it in its mouth, the Gemara's understanding is that he can't spit it back.
Of course it can. No, it's only if it ends up eating it.
But then he's right, so then what's the Nehemeh? It's Shemir Sudanizak.
Because the Hiyuv Nezek for Shin is in the moment where it was picked up. Now, it's only going to take effect once I got the benefit from it.
According to what you're saying, if the Chiyuv Shin is only, is that the point of when I picked it up, I damaged you, that it has to be that I can't put it back in it?
Of all people, you should be able to be analytical over here. The point is, it took it, and that's where the Chiyuv begins. Rishut HaNizak. It only ends when I eat it. And if I don't eat it, we cancel out the whole thing, we return it to your property, and we say it never began. Look at it as one long action, but the action began in a Rishut HaNizak. Why can't we see
that?
It was in a package. My bad. If I don't know. Back in the day.
What's the case of the lion where it grabbed it, it didn't eat it? Remember?
Yes. But over there, what are you talking about? When it stored it in its home? When the lion that came out?
When it killed the prey, and it didn't eat it there.
Right.
It took it somewhere else.
Right.
Public area.
Okay, over here you don't need to kill, but yeah, 100%. It moved it from one place to another. The point is, the fact that it, in the initial stage, took it from Rishut HaNizak makes me obligated. Or Behatzer HaMazik, Hayav, or it goes back to my own property and eats it there. I should be Hayav de Mehayevinan Belekiha, says Tosafot. The obligation over here is Belekiha. The Lekiha, meaning the taking of the object itself, is what makes me obligated, lehuda. Again, if it doesn't end up eating it, Judah, Jared, and everyone else, you're not going to be liable. You didn't get hana'ah. You can't call it shin. But even though it's intact, 100%, impossible. Impossible otherwise.
What about the owner that had a loss?
You pay something.
At this point, we think you're paying 100%. I took it from my animal, jumped onto your barbecue, grabbed the item, ate it in the public area. At this point, we think you're paying.
It ends up eating it.
It
doesn't eat it and you have a loss.
You didn't get it. Then I have to pay you for the loss. And
you do have to pay for the loss.
Yeah, what type of loss? It's not shin.
I get paid for the steak.
The meals.
Did it eat it?
No.
If it didn't eat it, it's not shin. It's not. Right, it's kidding.
Kidding. So you get paid for
the value. Half. It's shin means it ate. It's the only way you're going to get full. V'chin ha-sivara nota, says Tosafot. This initial stage is actually logical. De-kevan de-pasha' ba-le-kiha, since my animal, I was negligent in allowing for it to take from your property. Malanu ba-achila. What's the difference where it ate it? It needs to eat it. But what's the difference where? V'hadim ma'atinan, and that which we exclude, quote, misadeh aher. We said in the Gemara that the Pasuk says, ubi'er bistei aher, it ate on another person's property, reshut rabim. We say that can't be a public area. Hainu lekiha. That's specifically and only that the taking can occur in the reshut rabim. Again, if it took from another person's property, provided that it ate it, shin. 100%, but it ate it on my property, it doesn't matter. It ate it in the public, doesn't matter. If it took it in the middle, this one's very logical. Nathan's been saying this throughout, right? The idea being that if it's in the public area, it's your fault. You left your stuff, it's not on me. The kamiba ayale. Okay, that's the assumption of the Gemara initially. Then the Gemara has the question. Kegon, im hoshit perot befi para, het shinvav hereshote vekatan, veakum. Anyone who's not liable for the regular punishment, someone who doesn't have da'at, a non-Jew, delav b'nei tashlumin ninhu. They are not, in their taking, liable for paying. Ukigon shabehema lo hayeta yechola likach im lo shehoshit la. And for example, the animal's in an area where it can't get to it. So the little kid goes in, the person goes in, grabs the item, and comes out and says, "Ooh, doggy," puts the item in its mouth. V'ikehaser ha-nizak dameh hayav ba'al ha-para. V'ikehaser ha-mazik dameh patur. Our question in turn goes as follows. We didn't want to know when the animal went onto your property and grabbed it with its mouth. Of course you're obligated. I don't care where it ate it. Our question is where the animal didn't pick it up. So who picked it up? Just obligate that person. No. The person who picked it up can't be liable. Well, it can't be liable. Person who's cognitively impaired. That person picked it up, runs up to the doggy and puts it in the doggy's mouth. Do we now say as it enters into the doggy's mouth is as if it's the owner's property? Or do we say it's the damaged person's property? On Hatzer HaNizak, it just didn't pick it up.
Now you'll think the
it's standing on your property. It didn't pick it up though.
The
owner of the dog?
Yeah.
What are you talking about? The dog ate it.
No, he said,
put it in my mouth. What do you want me to do?
Because now you called his mouth the owner of the dog's property. So now
The question of the Gemara. The question of the Gemara is if it didn't pick it up, if my animal didn't pick it up, but very happily, no forcing involved, eats this piece. Is its feet grounded on the property of the owner of the biscuit of the nizak? Is that enough to say it's hatzer hanizak, or do we say the fact that it didn't pick it up makes me exempt?
The owner of the dog had no real responsibility to watch out for that.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Why?
Because he's in
I let my dog go onto your property.
Now I'm with them. It's at a family barbecue. I have my dog there.
It's a family barbecue, so then it's on your field. No.
I'm at Jared's house. No, I brought my dog for his barbecue.
Good. And then your grandchild picks it up and throws it into the dog's mouth. That's right. That's right.
He likes grandson.
Oh,
so that's what we're looking at. Just these
Which one? Anyway, so the child picks it up. Of course it's damaged. No, okay, all right. So he's redo it. He's at a business event. You can't just take. You need to wait your turn, and they need to give it to you. He overstepped his example. And he brought his grandchild to the event. The grandchild can take, but the grandchild can't. You can't give it to the dog. And they're very strict about this. You're not allowed to just, it's very expensive meat. The grandchild takes it, puts it in the dog's mouth. On the one hand, the dog is standing on property of the business or the owner or whatever. On the other hand, the child picked it up. You're not going to make the child liable. What's the obligation? The obligation is on you. It went, and that's what we're suggesting right now. If the feet of the dog are on the property of the nizak, so in such a circumstance, we're saying that's this question: is pi hakelev kahatzer hanizak, or can you say, wait a second, my animal never picked this up, my animal never took this from your property, and my animal is my domain, it's my property. You can, so again, so kevan, four lines from the bottom, shenetano acher letoch piha. Okay, so that's the vehadika amar tifshot, and so now three lines from the bottom says Tosafot. So then, had we solved this? Did we ever solve this? Again, now we understand why you can't bring proofs from all those other mishnayot. All those other mishnayot are the animal picked it up and put it in its mouth. Over here, are we proving it from the mishnah? After all, the mishnah just says the dog picks it up, puts it in its mouth. Did you prove anything in terms of this question? This question is, when it got into the dog's mouth without the dog picking it up, did you prove anything? Lav mi matnitin. We can't prove this question from our Mishnah. Ela misugya dishma'ata. The only way we're proving this is a rare thing, and it's a difficult read in the Gemara, according to Tosafot. When the Gemara says, tifshot, let's solve this. It's not from the Mishnah. Mishnah is not clear one way or another. It's from the fact that the Gemara's words. What did the Gemara say? The Gemara said, where was this biscuit eaten? What did the Gemara say? At the stack of the owner of the biscuit and colon biscuit. Oh, one second. That being the case, the Gemara is revealing to us its reading. The Gemara is telling us that ubi'er bistei acher means it's on the property of the other. And I don't care about it being in the mouth. It's just a deduction from the words of the Gemara.
No reason whatsoever.
It emerges now, says Tosafot. And the next line it says, let's just read this. We can derive from those words in our Gemara, which says that the eating took place on the property of the owner. It needs to be not only taken, but also eaten in that place. Even though this is, it defies logic.
Wait. The dog has to eat it on the property still? It can't go to the Rishut HaRabim?
Yes, or anywhere else, or your Rishut. Your dog runs onto the owner's property, grabs it from the barbecue. What we thought until now was, well, the grabbing is sufficient. The conclusion of the Gemara is no. It's not even the conclusion. It's the matter-of-fact statement in the Gemara. The Gemara matter-of-factly told us, where is the eating? Everyone, yesterday morning, when we started the Gemara and used and read those words, everyone yelled at me and said, well, one second. Could it eat it in someone else's property? Grabbed it from your property, ate it on someone else's property. I said, we're going to leave that question for a moment or two. I'm probably, you know, I knew we were going to get into complications here in Tosafot. Couldn't answer that question. And the answer is, Tosafot's reading of our Gemara, we initially thought absolutely. Right when we hit that line, the line everyone asked me about, the Gemara is telling us without an explanation, says Tosafot, I can't give you an explanation. You are patur in such a circumstance. Of course, you're going to pay for the benefit of saving the meal of your animal, but for the fine steak which it grabbed, ate, and ruined, you're not paying. But why not? It grabbed it from your field, but it ate it off of your field. Says Tosafot, Ela digzera takatubu. That's gezera takatub. That's a pasuk. When we use those words, gezera takatub means a pasuk, which teaches me a law even though the Torah provides no reason. Does it mean it has no reason? No, but it means there's no easy reason. Famous examples, Harambam in Perek Gimel V'chot Teshuva Halacha Dal. He says, Af al pi shofar b'Rosh Hashanah gezerat ha-katubu, even though sounding the shofar in Rosh Hashanah is, you know, somewhat of a mysterious, just mention in the Torah, kind of the rabbis derive it. Nonetheless, remez yesh bo. There's no reason the Torah provides for it. Torah says, do this. And you do, that's what Tosafot is claiming. It's a very difficult thing to wrap your head around because we want all these liabilities and damages to make a lot of sense. We want it to be things that we would assume otherwise. Tosafot's claim is our Gemara just made a very bold statement. We couldn't have derived this from the other Mishnayot. We could only derive it from the matter-of-fact statement in our Gemara. Where did the eating take place, says our Gemara? On the property of the person who's losing it.
He owes for the stake, even though he took it away. He owes, but not any damages. Is that correct?
No. What does that mean? He owes for the stake.
Two potentials here.
You wrap them into one. Two potentials. Either he owes the value of the stake, or he owes the value of dog meal. Right.
Which one is it?
So, if tell me what case we're talking about.
The dog takes it off the property.
Dog meal.
That's when it. When is it the other thing?
If it goes onto the property, grabs it off the barbecue, and eats it there. That's what our Gemara told us.
All he's liable for is...
No, not all he's... That's where he pays the whole thing. What do you want him to pay for?
To pay damages.
Well, that is damages.
No, that's just the value of the steak.
What more? He ruined the barbecue? What do you want? What more? What do you want?
I ruined his barbecue.
Yeah, all right. Don't go. So the only time, that's an important thing. The only time we talk about those sorts of extra damages, you know, American law, we talk about it all the time. A guy got a bruise on his finger and he got $10 million off of it. Why? Because he had emotional and psychological. We have such concepts. That's the Hamisha Devarim. That's when a person damages another. We say, tzar. We say there's pain. Bullshit, there's embarrassment. That's when we get those things. When an animal does it, you don't get any of that sort of stuff. You get the damage and nothing more.
And wait, sorry, you said in that case that you're saying, so if it went to another person's thing and public area would be different?
Same thing. As long as it's not the owner of who's being damaged. Pasuk in the Torah, ubi'er bisteacher. I will tell you. As we go along, we'll try to advance something. But Tosafot's claim is, and we're going to stand by that, at the very least, it's going to be difficult to find the logic. Tosafot says we can't find the logic. There are others who suggest, I'm not advancing it this second, but it's a difficult. That's right, we're done. That's right. I'll tell you to close your ears.
It's not food, and it's something of value.
Like,
same story.
It's going to be the same thing.
If he takes an expensive scarf.
But keep in mind, shin. We're talking about shin, it means it got benefit from it. Took the expensive scarf and rolls around in it, you know, for its benefit or in closer.
Takes it and goes to public area.
That's not shin.
That's kiddin, no?
Shin, that's going to be kiddin. All right, says the Gemara here, so let's move on.
Can we say that an animal's eating is not 100% once he puts it in his mouth from this?
What does that mean?
That there's two parts to the animal. First he puts it in his mouth, and then he could possibly split it out whole, or eat it, or no, it's still
If they use the mouth to transport.
And not be liable?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Again, if it damaged it, it damaged it, and you'll pay whatever the damage is. But that's not going to be shin if it didn't benefit from it.
Right, but I'm saying once the animal puts it in his mouth, he didn't eat it.
That's not shin.
Right.
Yeah.
He has to actually
consume it. Okay, says the Gemara, so we should be able to, this is the way we began, should be able to derive and to tifshot, finish based on what we just read, that pi para kehatzer hanizak damya, right? That's the statement, the mouth of the cow is like the property of the person whose land it's standing on, right? That's what we established, and that's what will stand. We're going to say for a moment, now that we derived that, remember, we derived that just from the statement in the Gemara. The Gemara, just matter of fact, says, maybe we could prove that from other Mishnayot. What sort of other Mishnayot? It's going to sound like it's out of left field, but give it a chance.
Could you clarify what you just said? The mouth of the animal is the property of who?
of where the animal is standing.
So if my animal's standing on your...
That's what we're saying. That's where we end on it. It's somewhat beautiful. It's not perfect, because don't forget, it's not that you're going based on the kiha. Says the Gemara, let's deal with this in the Gemara. Let's deal with this somewhat systematically where this issue was addressed. Because again, the Gemara says we can solve it from here. It means you have this question. De'iba'ayalehu, two lines from the top on Daf Kaf Gimel Amud Bet, de'iba'ayalehu, because after all, in the Midrash, they had the following question. Pi para ke haser hanizak dame, o ke haser hamazik dame. Vi amarte ke haser hamazik dame, shen dechayev rahmana hechi mishka ahatla. Says the Gemara, wait a second. Did you really have such a question? Was this really the debate in the Midrash, whether the mouth of the cow, of the animal, is like the property always of the cow, the animal, or if it's in the place that it's standing? How could that be? How do you ever find then a liability of what's called shin? The animal benefited. You're going to always say, but it wasn't on the property of the person that benefited. Why are you going to say so? Because how did the animal benefit? Of course, by eating it. Amarav mare bere derav kana. There are other ways of benefiting in a way that's in a nezik, which is called shin. Two examples. Kigon shinit hakecha bekotel lehana'ata. For example, it rubbed itself, it scratched itself against someone's wall. You have an expensive wall, you have an expensive car. My dog comes on the side of it and scratches itself. By scratching itself, banging into it, it puts a dent in it. That was shin. Shin, it didn't eat anything, but it got benefit. It enjoyed it in the act of scratching itself. It got that benefit and the damage. That's a liability. There's no question over there, well, is the mouth this way or another? In other words, what the Gemara is now qualifying is, how could you ever have such a question if the mouth of the animal is considered kahaser hanizak? Of course it is. Otherwise, you're never liable for shin. No, there are other cases of shin. One is scratching against the wall. Or tinefa perot lehana'ata. It rolls in fruits and vegetables in order to cool itself off, and by doing so it makes them dirty, it ruins them in such a circumstance as well. What's the liability? Shin. Is there any question whose mouth? There's no mouth. It rolled on your property in them. Those would be then, says the Gemara, the cases in the Torah. In other words, if you told me that the mouth, which we just said is not so, but if you told me the mouth of an animal is always the property of the owner, very scary thought. It means that my animal can eat whatever it wants at any place, in any circumstance. Well, it's a scary thought, but says the Gemara, if that's the case, how do you ever find shin? We would have found another shin. But rest assured, it's not the halakha.
The av of shin would never exist.
That wouldn't be the av of shin.
Right.
Listen, the Torah never says eats. The Torah says, ubi'ir bistayahir. Bi'ir bistayahir means it consumes. It consumes. Doesn't necessarily, you can consume something by being nehene. Yep, says the Gemara, matkif la mor zutra. Before we get into the proofs, I forgot, right before the proof, says the Gemara, wait a second, I have another issue. If you're going to tell me those are cases of shin, again, the case of scratching against the wall, the case of rolling in the fruits on the floor, doesn't really fit the description in the Torah of what shin is. How so? The haba'ina, don't we need the following? Ka'asher yiva'ir ha'galal ad tumo. If you recall, this is a pasuk the Gemara cited. The Gemara said we have two pasukim. One pasuk in the Torah says ubi'ir bistayahir, and then we wanted to define what does ubi'ir mean? To consume, to destroy, or something? And it cited this pasuk asher yiva'ir hagalal ad tumo. And Rashi had two interpretations on Daf Gimel to the word galal. Hagalal either means teeth, which are sometimes exposed, milashon gilui, and sometimes not exposed, or it means the excrement. It means the waste of the animal. Regardless, this is the pasuk that we use to talk about shin. Listen to the final words of this pasuk. Ad tumo. Are we familiar with that word? Tumo. Tam v'nishlam. Until it's finished. That's right. Until it's completed. Which means to say the pasuk, one of the two pesukim, which define for us what shin is, say, when are you liable, according to our understanding and interpretation of it? When you finished it off. When you finished it off, sounds like it's no longer usable. Sounds like there's nothing to be derived from it any longer. Let me ask you a question. It's scratched against the wall. Yeah. The wall is no longer usable. It dirtied the fruit by rolling them. They're no longer there. That can't be. If the definition of the av of shin is, it's gone, well, then these wouldn't be shin. Shin is only when it's ad tumo, quote unquote, when it's finished off. It's not finished off over here. They're damaged, no doubt. They need to be repaired, absolutely, but they're not finished. Veha ba'ina, do we not need kashe yiva'ir hagalal ad tumo veleka? Veleka means and it is not. Ravina amav. Ravina says not a problem. Deshaf salmeh. Rav Ashi Amar, de pas'e pasu'e. Each of these two opinions, Ravina and Rav Ashi, living at the same time, they tag team over here. Each one of them takes one of those two examples. First example, nitachicha etzel hakotel, where it scratched itself on the wall. Perhaps the case is shaf salme. Salme milashon selim. There's a picture on the wall. There's some sort of chiseled in image, or maybe even a drawn on image. And by wiping itself, scratching itself against the wall, it ruined it. That's right. It's gone. Irreversible. You can't just bring it to the shop and take out the dent in it. It has to be completely redone. In such a circumstance, there's ad tumo, even when it's scratching. Or what about in the rolling in the fruits? The pas'e pasu'e, Rashi says, it rolls in the fruit so much, or on a day in which the mud is still liquidy and gets the fruit stuck in there. Once the fruit are stuck in there, that we see as irreversible. Similar to what Jared was suggesting earlier. That's not regel, because it got hana'ah. Regel is derech hilucho, where it's rolling in fruit. That's not derech hilucho. Animals don't roll in order to move. That is derech hana'ata, that shin. That means
that shin could never exist, because maybe the animal doesn't finish the whole food.
Okay, I hear you. The statement over here of ad tumon, its most simple sense is that it comes to finishing it off. That's right. Now, when it ate the food and it took 10 bites out of it, or 5 bites out of it, it's no longer usable. Nobody's going to touch it. That's ad tumon. It doesn't mean that it doesn't exist anymore. It means that, okay, but that's not the shin of the Torah. Shin of the Torah means it's fully ruined. Well, that being the case, if we're to then stop over here, the Gemara then has established for us the following. Pi hapara is kahasir hanizak. The mouth of the animal is like the property where it's standing. Number two, how would you or could you, and do we, have other cases of shin, these two other cases where it scratches or it rolls? The last thing in the Gemara to do, and we'll begin and do that next week, is to point to other mishnayot in cases. This is a Masechet Sanhedrin, actually, where you can perhaps derive that pipara, well, what is the status of the mouth of the animal? We know the answer. We're going to try to prove it from Mishnayot and systematically say, not a good proof. But we end with, again, the mouth of the animal is based on where the feet of the animal are planted. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen ve'amen.